I'm Dave Rathauer. This is Jazz, Rhythm, and the Music of Lester Young. He almost has a cult following and has really reached the kind of mythic status of a jazz icon. But oddly, even though Prez was one of the most influential musicians in jazz, his actual influences are very hard to trace and in fact seem to fade out quickly as bop and the music of Charlie Parker emerged. Still, Prez is often cited as an inspiration by the boppers. Even Charlie Parker himself said that he dug Prez, but there were very big differences between what they did. Here's another example. I know a very good swing tenor player who says Lester is his main man, his main influence. Yet the guy sounds nothing like Lester, and his tone and vibrato are much more like Coleman Hawkins. One jazz writer, Benny Green, in a book called The Reluctant Art, makes a convincing argument that Young's innovations and influences were confined to the late 30s and early 40s and faded out rapidly, along with Lester's powers. Yet, he agrees that Lester was special, that his impact was vast and electrifying, his ideas brilliant and revolutionary. Benny Green in The Reluctant Art, first published in 1962, now available in reprint, even goes so far as to say that Lester, quote, permeated the entire jazz cosmology. A couple of perfect examples demonstrating Lester's very spare lyricism, his unique tone, and radical sense of rhythm are the Kansas City Five from 1939 and 44, Lester Leaps In and Lester Leaps Again. Thank you. Lester from 1944, and typical of the direction Lester Young went after leaving the Basie organization, though in that recording he was accompanied by Basie on piano. Before that, two of his signature recordings, Lester Leaps In and Lester Leaps Again. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me when you can for this weekly exploration of early jazz, jazz rhythm. Another part of the fascination with Lester Young lies in his odd personal habits, his contradictions and bizarre use of language. Now, of course, there's the way he stuck out his sax at an odd 45-degree angle, unlike any other saxes before or since. Oddly, though he was extremely wary of racism, his two big influences were the white saxophone players Frankie Trumbauer and Jimmy Dorsey. Lester's speech was always very obtuse. He called everyone Lady This and Lady That. It's how Billie Holiday came to be called Lady Day. Taking his sax to a repair shop, he complained of trouble with the keys, saying, "My people won't play." If something was a drag to Lester, it was Von Hangman. He referred to a female as a hat, or a Homburg, or Mexican hat. An attractive young female was pound cake. If he sensed bigotry, he'd say, "I feel a draft." And can Madame Burn? Was asking if your wife could cook. Prez was by most accounts a rather shy and sensitive man, a loner, quiet and polite. If offended, he would take out a small whisk broom he carried in a coat pocket and dust off his left shoulder. In the 1950s, Prez toured with Jazz at the Philharmonic, recorded for Verve, and gradually sank into depression and alcoholism. But from time to time, as in this 1956 recording, he still sounded great. Lester Young will remain a towering figure for as long as people listen to jazz saxophone. But I think he stands as a lonely and possibly even tragic giant of jazz. You'll find Lester Young's music is widely available on CD. The Benny Green book I mentioned earlier is called The Reluctant Art and is currently in print from DeCapo Press. There's also a very good chapter about Lester in the recent book I've been mentioning, Masters of Jazz Saxophone, from Miller Freeman Books. And you'll find references to Lester Young in any decent book about jazz history. Of course, if you have questions or comments, I do like to hear from you via my website, jazzhotbigstep.com, or you can feel free to email me direct at dradjazz@aol.com. That's dradjazz@aol.com. Prez was a solitary spirit who shone brightly, all too briefly, creating a whole world of music with a few fleeting wisps of sound. He was one of those special few musicians who find that most elusive of prizes, originality. With his fresh and unique voice, he spoke his truth, and in doing so expanded the language of music and left an indelible personal signature on jazz. From 1944, here's the Kansas City Seven with Basie and Lester, After Theater Jump. I'm Dave Radlauer. That's Jazz Rhythm. Thanks for listening. Thank you.